Board wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distraction and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book, step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experiences from the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're discussing step four. Please, let's welcome our panel. Catherine and Robert.
Welcome, Robert.
I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 63, and then the panel will share a few minutes on each of the readings. Step four, part one, may be searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Page 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions.
Hi, my name is Robert, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Robert.
First and foremost, thank you for allowing me to speak. That very first reading, it's a vital and crucial step. That seems to be legit. My experience on this step was I was glad there was three more before I got to this step. Specifically with this reading, there's not much I can say about that reading other than it is vital and crucial. It was a gateway to more, which will be revealed here in the next few sentences or a few paragraphs. But I had a lot of resentment for me, and that resentment was poison. It was killing me. I didn't know why. And I took actions. My solution for that was to drink, to go ahead and block out that resentment or to fuel that anger. And in the very beginning of this, it really touches on a way out. That's all I got for this one little paragraph.
Thanks, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Hi, my name is Catherine, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Catherine.
And I'm really glad to be here with you this evening, and thank all of you for being here. Simple Actions is my home group, so that's why I'm so happy to see all of you. But this, probably the biggest thing that speaks to me when I look at this step, or this paragraph that we read, is that our liquor was but a symptom. And the first time I heard that in a meeting when I was newly sober, that really hit me pretty hard, because I truly thought that I was an okay person. I just drank too much. Like, really, that was my problem. I just drank too much, and I couldn't seem to control it. I didn't know how to stop, and I really thought, you know, an old idea that I came in here with is that if I could just stop drinking, everything would be okay. And, you know, it talks about bristling and things. Like, the first time I heard that, I'm like, I remember talking to someone after that meeting, and I'm like, that can't be true. Like, I couldn't even grasp the meaning of that initially, because I didn't realize that I had a problem other than alcohol. That really my problems were about how to live sober. I couldn't do that because I had a lot of stuff. I had to do this house cleaning. And I will say that in those early days when I would read the steps on the wall in meetings, you know, because maybe I didn't want to listen to what was being said. My first impression of what step four was that it was going to be a time that I was going to write all this bad stuff about me. And then as I started hearing more about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to write all this bad stuff about other people? Okay, that's a little bit more tolerable. but truly, I thought a personal inventory meant that I started out by writing down all the things that I thought about myself that were horrible. and really, truly, what I really wanted to write was all the reasons I thought my life was horrible. All of the excuses. All of the things that happened to me. Poor little me. And so the truth that the liquor was a symptom took a while to sink in. A long while. And I had a lot of stuff blocking me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. And then we're on page 64. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unusable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations.
Okay, my name is Robert, so I'm an alcoholic. This part I like a little bit more, just because it has a little bit more words to it. So, this was a very good illustration for me. When I came in, I was very confused. First and foremost, I got a sponsor, a guide, to help me make sense of all this. I was still intelligent enough to read and comprehend. But what I was reading and comprehending in this big book made absolutely no sense to me, because it's actually counterintuitive on how I lived my life. Like what was already shared by Catherine, I wasn't the most horrible person in the world, but there was some damage going on inside of me. Some of it was buried deep within inside me. Some of the tools that I got before I came to AA was repression and denial, and I used them until I got into AA. This part of the reading that we just read is going to take a look at that stuff. Like I said, step four is step four, and I'm glad we had three other steps. It really helped me to get to this part with guidance. And all it's telling me to do, I actually enjoyed my fourth step. I did. I thought it was very eye-opening. I lived in a state of delusion a lot of my life. You wronged me, and that's all I knew about it. And I didn't see my part into it. But dealing with this, what it's asking me to do is something very simple. I'm going to look at the facts. I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm going to put them down on paper. And I like the illustration. This is a store. I only got so much space in the store. If this stuff is rotting or past due or outdated or no working, nobody wants to buy that product. No wonder why I was alone. Nobody wants to come to a store that's, you know, getting robbed all the time, or you're going to get robbed if you come to my store. And also, I had nothing to sell. I had nothing to give away that was worth anything. It was not very attraction. One of the things in our fellowship is attraction rather than promotion. Got to say, I'm a pretty good-looking guy, humbly speaking. But when I came in here, you probably wasn't going to be attracted to me unless you were as sick as I was. So what I'm going to take a look at with guidance is this stuff that's inside the store, inside my mind, inside my body, years, decades of stuff. And I'm just going to take a look at it. I'm going to make an inventory, and that is it. I don't want to focus on this. They're not asking me to go in-depth, write it on paper, and get it out of there. And that's all they're asking me to do on this little reading right here. And that's good. And then it moves on to getting rid of that stuff in a little bit, which was also good. When I get rid of the bad stuff, there's more space on the shelves for good stuff. AA, good. Myself, real one, riot, bad. It's a very simple equation for me, which is good. I need simple instructions or simple actions because I'm a complicated dude. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
So, how do I explain this? When I read this paragraph, the first one that we read about the business taking inventory, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. This sounds good. But to actually do exactly the same thing with my life, it's kind of like this roadblock comes up. I'm like, now I'm confused again. I was with you, and now I'm totally lost, gone. And, you know, when it said we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure, maybe that's part of where I got the idea that I was going to make this list about all of my flaws, all the things that I thought about myself that were not good. But it's really not where I start. It's kind of where it might end up, hopefully. But being convinced, so where I'm going to go, what I want to focus on, I guess, with my experience. I had a lot of time in step three, and I spent a long time reading the pages right before this section. So from the ABCs on page 60 up into the third step prayer, I would say probably at least 2 years. So when it says, you know, I'm getting confused, blah, 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 how do I go forward? When it says being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, that's where I had to go back to kind of that foundation that was being built for me, that I was being led towards, and go back and read what it talked about in step three in here, in the preceding pages, about all the ways that I manifest myself in my life to create some chaos. But really, I had to be convinced of that. And I can say with all certainty that by the time I got to step four, I was definitely convinced. I came in confused. How could I have any other problems other than drinking too much? But by the time that I actually got ready to put pen to paper, I was convinced that myself had caused a lot of the turmoil in my life. And I'm not sure if we're going to read about the part about, you know, where resentment is a dubious luxury of normal men. I remember the first time that my sponsor pointed that out to me when I was complaining about this lady at work. And man, she was awful. And, I just couldn't stand her. And she said that. And I just got even more furious. And I was talking to her. I was on my way to a meeting early in the morning, and I got to that meeting, and I was even more angry after having that conversation. Like, what do you mean I don't have the right to be angry at someone? You don't understand how awful this person is. And I remember kind of going off about that in the meeting, just about how it wasn't fair. And the long and short of it is that this process has shown me how to walk through that. And in truth, my experience was that before I technically actually got to the fourth step, my sponsorship line had me doing some daily inventory kind of from the get-go. And even though I didn't really know exactly what it was I was doing, I was having to write down, you know, at night reading on page 86 and 87, looking at the things I was angry about during the day. So it kind of helped set the stage to make this a little bit easier. Thanks.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you. We're going to continue on page 64. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore, we were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was that our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with?
Hi, my name's Robert. I'm an alcoholic. Okay. I also like this portion of the reading. There's a lot of meat and potatoes here, which I'm good. I'm Irish Reefs, we like potatoes. On this, it's given me clear-cut instructions once again. I also failed to mention the previous two readings. They were giving me a timeline on this. On the very first reading, it said at once. And then the second reading we did promptly. So they're giving me clues, very clear clues on a time frame on when to take this action. I'm hurting. I'm dying from untreated alcoholism. Now, I might be sober for whatever length of time I was till I got to this step, but I still got a lot of junk in my store. I need to get rid of it. One of my character defects is procrastination, unwillingness to do things that even might be good for me, and a subtlety of thinking that I know what's best for me all the time instead of taking clear-cut instructions. You guys are sober. You guys have happy lives. You guys don't have the same problems that I do. You're not perfect, and you do have problems, but not the same problems that I do. I'm dying here. I need to do something about this. This is clearly stating when to do it. Now, let's go do. Now, this part, they're telling me exactly what to do. I'm going to take a pen. I'm going to take paper. I'm going to get the poison out of my head and onto paper. And it felt like a relief. For whatever magical thing went on with that, the wheel stopped spinning. It went down my arm into the paper on or into the pen onto the paper, and I could see it for what it was. Once again, just facts, not making it up bigger or smaller than what it was in my head. I have a very difficult time accurately assessing a situation or myself sometimes. I need help with this. Guidance from a sponsor, a higher power, and looking at it. What's going on? And it gives me an accurate assessment of what's up. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I like what Catherine hit on, which is on the next page, which is absolutely my favorite part of the big book. You know, this my story, my experiences, this is very empowering. It's given me tools to use if I choose to participate in my life that will set me free and make me of service to other people other than just myself or self, which ironically works really, really well. And it begins with writing these things down. I'm not going to go how I did my fourth step because everybody has their own ways, and that's good. I'm going to keep it general. But it's telling me to do certain things, and I think it works really well. It's done miracles for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. Okay, so resentment is the number one offender. I did not know how angry I was when I came into AA. I had no idea that I was walking around with all this anger. Today, when I get really angry, it's almost like a scary experience. I haven't had that experience in quite a while, but when it happens, it's almost like having a hangover. Like, it sticks with me for several days. It's that debilitating. But I just was so unaware of how much anger I really had. and I guess I lived my whole life that way. I mean, truth be told, I guess I was pretty angry since I was a little kid before I ever even picked up a drink. And so, you know, from the anger or the resentment, it stems all forms of spiritual disease. And, you know, I don't really want to hear when I come into AA that, you know, that there's more things wrong with me than just my drinking. Why is that funny? No, but seriously, it talks about this too with financial situations. Not specifically in what we're reading, but in our literature, it talks about, you know, when we get spiritually straight, when we seek the spiritual solution, our financial situation, our insecurities will, you know, mysteriously improve themselves. Because that, oh my gosh, oh, I was plagued with financial insecurity for years coming into AA. And you know, it's telling me here again that I have to look at the spiritual sickness that I have in order to straighten out mentally and physically, in that order. And I don't know how to do that. Like, I do not have the tools, the equipment, nothing. Like, I'm completely lost on how do I straighten myself out spiritually. Fortunately, really for me, all I had to do was what my sponsor was telling me to do, come to AA. I didn't really have to, like, figure it out. Just follow what it's asking me to do here. So we asked ourselves why we were angry, and I love this because I gotta tell you, even to this day, if I'm really angry about something, oftentimes my experience is that I cannot sum it up into a succinct sentence. I literally sometimes have to write an entire page in a journal to figure out what it is exactly that I'm angry about. And to me, that is huge progress. Because all I know is rage and hate, and I can't stand this person, and they shouldn't even walk the face of the earth. Like, who even allowed them to breathe?
Wow.
I mean, that's not... That is true. But truly, when I get that kind of feeling towards someone, it's very difficult for me to really, truly understand why it is I'm angry. And I'll be honest with you, I'll write and write and write, and I literally just have to, the same type of stuff that I will call someone up, most likely not in the program, and, you know, moan and complain about how awful someone is. That's the same type of stuff I just have to start writing out. And finally, I can get down to what it is that really is upsetting me. And that's a huge, huge, huge progress. So when we asked ourselves why we were angry, I've only ever been taught how to do four step right out of the here, just like it shows us with the four columns. But, you know, okay, I can write the name, because I have no problem making a list. I can make a list, I'm real good there. But writing down the cause, why? And I can really write a book on that. And when it gets down to what it affects, again, I have issues of being able to really truthfully and honestly have an idea of what it affects. Sometimes I need help with that. Sometimes it's a little more obvious. But this is the kind of elementary skills I come into AA with. I can tell you I'm angry, but I can't tell you why. I know I'm upset, but I can't tell you why. And to even begin to look at maybe there's something I'm doing, I mean, that's a huge change in my life for me. Huge. And I will just truly be honest with you and say that I am not perfect. Even to this day, there are more than one occasion that I will sit around with a resentment towards someone because it feels good. It makes me feel good about myself because I'm not as awful as they are. So just to even look at that is a huge step. You know, look at that, hey, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. I'm the one who's angry. I'm the one with the problem. So let's look at what's going on there. Thanks.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. We're going to continue down on page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing kept it but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us, and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot, because that really encapsulated a lot of how I thought and my the tools that I came with the table. I can clearly point out on how you're living your life really affects me, and you're not doing it right. And by proxy, my world was very black and white, and there was only one side of the fence. There was mine and yours, and you're either for me or against me. This portion of the big book, and especially this step in particular, breaks them walls down a little bit. First and foremost, I'm not in charge of everything, believe it or not. It might be easy for you to see that, but tell me that, and it's not so easy for me to see that. This part right here, because I'm doing an inventory once again, and I'm breaking it down into different columns, it's an awakening. It's an awareness that I just didn't have. I was a very unconscious dude when I came in here. I knew what you did, it didn't jive with what I wanted, and we were going to have issues. That's all that matters. I need what I want when I want it, and that's it. Sometimes I even acted out unselfishly. Like I said, I wasn't the worst person in the world when I came in here. Sometimes I wanted to do things, nice things for people on rare occasions. But then you didn't show the gratitude that I wanted you to show. Then I'm resentful because you don't know how great I am. I just treated you like crap for a decade, and now I just did something nice for you, and you can't be grateful. What is your problem? And this really goes ahead and breaks it down even deeper. I like going through the book with a sponsor or a guide because it goes. We can go slow or as fast as we want to do until I comprehend this stuff, and it goes down once again. It breaks it down to exactly how I was thinking and how it wasn't working for me. I'm just looking for a solution. I got problems. I'm looking for a solution for the first time in my life. I'm doing this because what I have is killing me. It's killed a few family members, killed a few friends. I'm seeing the train coming to the end. I better get off that Casey Jones or it's going to be really bad. So the deal is I'm sore at you. You seem to be happy, joyous, and free. You're living your life the way you want, and you're causing me a lot of damage, and I'm drinking over that, and I just cannot get away from that until I start cleaning house, and this is a great step for it. Coming up to my other favorite part, so I'm going to be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you. So I got to be honest with you. I didn't really like the part about going back through my life. When I first approached this, I felt like, well, I mean, stuff that happened when I was a kid, I mean, that's a long time ago. I'm not really angry about that anymore. I don't have to write about that. So maybe I need a little more convincing, but when it says nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty, you know, that's, I guess, you know, up to each individual's own discretion on that. But, you know, I really liked what you said because it reminded me of just an experience. I did an inventory on my brother, and of course there was a lot of stuff. We're only 20 months apart, and yeah, we were real close when we were young, but by the time I started drinking and doing other substances in high school, we really grew apart. We really fought a lot. We would share a car. I mean, we had, you know, brawling, drag out fights in the high school parking lot over who was going to get the car. And, you know, and he would tell me flat out, you know, because I'd be telling him what a loser he was. And he was, you know, kind of straight laced. And he would be like, well, at least I'm not a drug addict and a drunk, you know. And of course, man, that would really burn me up. And because because I'm just having fun, I'm cool, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, that all that stuff happened a long time ago, and I had really, there were some things that I had done or not done, really. It wasn't stuff I'd specifically done, it was what I had not done, how I had not been there for him in important moments in his life that really, 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 and even just talking about it makes me sad that I could be that kind of person. And, you know, life moves on, and you know, here I am in sobriety, and, you know, it just, by the time it came, our relationship has changed, let me put it that way. We grew back very close. And when I say close, I mean close for him, but, you know, he's a very distant person. And when they moved away not too long ago, and I knew resentments grew, that they didn't appreciate all the stuff I had done while they were here. And meanwhile, I had not had a chance to make amends to him because he's very unavailable. They've got young children, and, you know, it's hard for us to get one-on-one time, just him and I together, where he's actually, like, willing to sit down for a minute. So we just had an opportunity recently over Thanksgiving. And all those new resentments that had come up were just cleared away, completely cleared away. And I just am so grateful for this process, because I gotta tell you, anger, this resentment stuff, will eat me alive. Just like my mental obsession with alcohol, where I could not think about alcohol, I could not go a day without drinking. I get resentment bad enough, and I'm telling you, even just thinking about it for 5 seconds, and I'll all burn up again. I mean, furious. And anyway, sometimes doing this process helps. And there's been a few occasions where it doesn't quite take it away yet. It's not until the amends process that the resentment is really cleared away for me. It's only been a couple of situations like that. But anyways, I don't know why I wanted to share that with you, but it just I just got thinking about that situation. And the bottom line, I guess I'll just say this about it, is that when I was able to express the reality is that I've lived my entire life, and still do, with no regard for other people. And that's really what I came out of this with, that I just have no regard for other people's lives, feelings, anything. And so when other people don't have regard for me, it really hurts, right? And anyway, so I stay sore at them. And the bottom line is that with this situation, he actually expressed some places that he was hurting, and I was able to see him as a real person, as a human. And it was like God changed my heart towards him. And I don't know, it makes me want to cry just thinking about how wonderful, how beautiful it really is, even though it seems like, I'm going to write this crap down on paper. It's a nice Saturday. I think of every excuse in the world as to why I don't have time to do this. So the more I fight and try to have my own way, the worse matters get. But I'm the one that's suffering and dying inside. And I'm of no use to other people. And I cannot seem to figure out how to be a service to others, because I'm so torn up and burnt up by my own turmoil. And so anyways, thanks. Sorry, I kind of started rambling there.
Oh, cool. I like it. Thanks.
We continue now on page 66. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm are not for us. They might be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison.
I could have a whole meeting on that one paragraph that we just read, because right there I lost count of how many times I've read this paragraph throughout my journey in sobriety so far. I'm going to keep it relatively brief. The first and foremost part that I like is the solution part. I was told very early on in sobriety that there's going to be problems and there's going to be solutions. Whatever I focus on seems to grow. I was in a lot of pain, I was in a dark spot, and I focus on a lot of my problems, and they just seem to get bigger. Life was unmanageable. You guys were still not doing what I wanted you to do. I was a victim, and I was dying. That's what I focused on coming in here. Now that you guys got a hold of me in this program, I focus on something else. It's called the solution. And what an empowering process this has been. This one simple flow chart. I call it a flow chart because it's very easy. I like to boil things down into simple, simple stuff. And it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads to only two places. So the flowchart, me, resentful, only leads to two places, futility and unhappiness. Do I want to be unhappy, Robert? Yes, keep being resentful. Do I want to have a futile attempt on something that I cannot change? Yes, keep being resentful. If I don't want to do that, that's awesome, because it gives me, once again, a time frame and something awesome. To the precise extent that we permit these. So I'm permitting these things. I'm renting space in my head. I'm giving my joy away. I'm giving my freedom away. The one thing that I fought for, what I thought I fought for more than anything, was to be free. And what I was doing was put myself in a self-imposed prison. And that prison was built with alcohol and resentment. You guys are telling me that I can walk right out the prison anytime I want, and I did not realize that. This inventory process allows me to walk out of the prison and be more useful. It also even references the sunlight of the spirit. If I wanted to grow something, I need to nurture it. I need to take care of it. We need sunlight for things to grow, or at least good things to grow. And I'm blocking this conduit. Here's me. Here's the universe, my higher power, whatever you guys want to roll with. And I need a conduit to that. If I'm blocking that conduit off with this junk, this past experiences and resentments, I'm not getting a clear conduit. I need a clear conduit. So to the precise extent that I don't want to clean this out, how free do I want to be? When am I looking to get happy? When am I going to look to be okay with me? When am I going to look to be okay with you? This process right here does exactly to that, to the precise extent. Wonderful. You mean I can start getting better today? Let's do it. I'm down with that. Because I was willing, because I was in a lot of pain in a bad spot. I'm not going to take up the whole time. There's just way too much stuff there. They also reference a few things. Fatal, poison, death. They are zapping me with a bunch of different words that are key words, if I'm paying attention, that this is where my resentment will lead me to. Back to the bottle, back to these things. And I don't want these things in my life. I want other things in my life, and this is the way out. Thanks, let me share.
Thanks, Robert. Yeah, so I guess I kind of might have been reading ahead earlier. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier, and you know, it's amazing how you can read the big book so many times and just go, you know, you take the sponsor and point it out, like when something is going on, you're like, okay, well, turn to this page and read this, and you're like, well, I'm like, oh shit, you know, like what? But truly, I mean, that's how I came in here. I didn't know it, but I was full of deep resentments, and I was only to futility, which I didn't realize I would be speaking next. So I didn't bring my book, but I believe that futility means uselessness, like to be useless. So I came in here full of deep resentment, didn't know it. I was useless and unhappy. That's how I walked in here. And when it says squander the hours that might have been worthwhile, I mean, who hasn't looked back at their life? I mean, I spent 16 years drinking. And I have to be very careful because, you know, one of my favorite, I don't want to say favorite pastimes, but you know how, you know, that little pity pot that I could get on, that, man, if I hadn't drank all those years and lost all those jobs and all the opportunities I missed and where I would be now, you know. But the truth is, I get the privilege of being here in AA with you, and the privilege of a new life and a better life. Because that's what I do. I squander my life away. I'm completely useless. And it's just that my hope, I want hope. I want hope of change, because really when I came in, I was hopeless. I was in a lot of trouble, and I had burned a lot of bridges, and I had resigned internally to myself that life without alcohol would be miserable, absolutely miserable. But I was okay with that because I needed this trouble to stop. I mean, really, the flames were just growing high, very high. And I was trying to pour alcohol in the flames, and they were just getting bigger and bigger. And there was nothing left for me to do except to resign to the fact that I couldn't drink anymore. And the truth is that what I got here in May was hope. So I get all this hope. I'm working the first three steps. Okay, all right, we're good. Now you tell me I got to do some work. And of course, I'm like, you know, maybe not so much. I mean, it's okay now. You know, I'm not drinking anymore. But it's telling me that I will drink. And my hope is in this maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience. Now, I will say that I believe that just the process of getting me into AA was a form of a spiritual experience, but it doesn't stop there. You know, and I read the spiritual experience appendix, and I'm thinking, oh, I've had this spiritual experience, and, oh, you know, I've got this direct line. But then, you know, but truthfully, that's not how it works, at least not for me. Like, it's just like a split moment, and it's great because it moves me. And it does give me hope. And it really, for me, what it gives is in, you know, I always have to go back to either God is or he isn't. Either he is or he isn't. Just like you were saying, there's two choices, you know. So my hope, which I think, I know that's what I want, and I think that's what other people want, is based on that maintenance and growth of the spiritual experience. So all these resentments will block that. And I'll go back to drinking, and that's the last thing I want, because I cannot go through what I took to get me in here the first time. So anyways, thanks.
Thanks, Cher.
Thank you. Our final reading tonight is on page 66. We turn back to the list for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thine will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
Once again, each one of these paragraphs could be a meeting on themselves, in my humble opinion and experience. Okay, so we're looking at a key to the future. Am I going to wander morbidly around in the past until I'm dead? Possibly. Or am I going to look towards the future? Am I going to look in the present and looking moving forward? And I'm holding the key, and I don't even realize it. Once again, they give us another little death threat there. Fantasies are real. Welcome to my world before Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd walk around, and sometimes it was real, and sometimes it was fantasy. It was a really bad trip. And it had the actual power to kill, for sure. There was a lot of things that were done. I'm not a hapless victim. There was things that happened that weren't nice. Did I have a part into it? This really cleared it up if I had a part or not. I do believe there are victims out there. But needless to say, I'm holding this resentment for something that happened a long time ago. It's not happening right now. I need to live in the present. I need to look forward to the future. What am I doing? How am I participating in my recovery to move past the past? I don't know how to do this on my own, but I have this key. All I need is the willingness to go ahead and take a few simple actions. And on this page, it's telling me it can dominate me. Why, if somebody did something to me a week ago or a month ago, am I still thinking about it? You know, what am I doing? I'm sitting here with you people. I'm having a good time. But yet I'm not having a good time because I'm thinking I'm reliving the past a week, a month ago, 10 years ago. That's how much I got a good memory with the bad stuff you did for me. Trust me, I'll hold on to that. And I need to let that go. The other part, and I don't want to take up all the time, perhaps spiritually sick. That's a new perspective for me. How about this? I'm hurting and I want people to feel sorry for me or help me. Straight up, just help me, right? But how about the people that are doing the damage to me? How about if they're more like me than I think? That I never got until I came in here. The people that did hurt me, legit or fantasy, could be sick people too. Huh, what a novel concept. I did not come up with that. Thank God it was in this book. So I need to stop focusing on you people in the world so much that's out of my control and focus back on me. If you've done something to me wrong, well, I shouldn't probably come back to you. That would be my advice. Let me write on this, talk to a sponsor, and get the heck out of Dodge. If you continue to hurt me, I'm not going to associate with you. I'm good with that now. Before, I'll just keep on coming back for more. Futile attempt to get what I want from you while you're hurting me more and more. I'm giving you that power over me. This, to the precise extent, I don't have to do that because I got a key, blah, blah, blah. God help me save a sick person if I can't. Which might be out of my power, just be patient and tolerant, which is something that I need to work on a daily basis. Patience and tolerance for my other sick people in the world that are taking this journey with me in and outside of the rooms, because I got a host of them. And not everybody has the same tools or the shot that I have today in Alcoholics Anonymous. Got to remember that. I was out there a long time doing a lot of damage. And the people that are still out there, they don't know this. They don't have this key. I do. I should use it and be a little bit more patient tolerant only for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome.
I love how it says prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. It's very hard for me to experience that on my own. I really have to do what we call a fifth step, like talk with my sponsor about it. It's very hard on my own for me to actually have that different angle, but it's amazing to have it. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't even happen for me really in the fifth step. It takes the amends process to really get that different angle. That the anger just still burns inside. I can't. And that's where I love this. We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how we could not wish them away any more than alcohol. And I got to tell you, if you've ever had this experience where it's like I can see myself behaving in a way that I don't want to behave and I cannot not do it. It's just like drinking. It's like I don't want to drink and I cannot not drink. And that, the first time that I truly grasped that truth about myself, being fully sober, was almost as heartbreaking or kind of like being sucker punched as accepting the truth about my alcoholism. That I cannot make myself wish a resentment away. So thank God, like Robert's mentioned, we have this process, this tool that we can use. And I will say that this prayer here, I was shown this prayer fairly early on in sobriety, and a lot of times I say this prayer like, this poor, pitiful, sick person, like I'm so saintly and up here. And this lowly, poor, pitiful person, I must extend, like with a real air of superiority. But there are also times that I say this prayer begging and wishing for God to give me a different heart, because I just don't, I am incapable of having a different attitude, of having a different heart towards another person, to see through that anger on certain occasions. And I'm in a situation like this right now with a family member who is sick. And I gotta tell you, the strength really only comes from God. Because I ask God to help me show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience. Because I don't know how to do that, to have patience, to have pity, to have tolerance. I'm not equipped for that. It's not like a natural thing. And then it says that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. I'm so selfish. I mean, if you're sick, it's like, yeah, whatever. But anyway. All right. Don't give it to me. Anyways, thanks for letting me share.
With our truly final reading on page 67, referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Once again, this is some pretty good stuff. Wow. To disregard what you've done for me and only focus on my part of it, why on earth would I do that? Well, once again, I got this insatiable craving for liquor. And even when, say, that goes away for a little while, I eventually go back to that. And I really don't want to go back to that at this point in my life while doing this step. And I haven't done the steps. I live the steps. It's not one and done. So I need to do this thing on the regular if I want to be healthy and free and keep growing. So I'm doing this on the regular. And why would I disregard your stuff and just focus on mine? Well, here's a novel idea. Maybe I did something that offended you. And, you know, this is going on to other steps. It's all kind of interwoven. But for focusing on this right here, I need to focus on what I did and what I could have done differently. And maybe, you know, there's times that I might have a very small percentage of what was going on in there. Maybe I cut you off or something like that, and then you came at me way too hard, you know? But there's other stuff going on in your world. I am not God, so I don't know what's going on in your world. All I know is I need to be rid of these resentments, and if I did something, I should take a look at that. If I take a look at that, maybe there's some more things that I can do to lessen this situation instead of elevate it, because I used to elevate situations. I used to bring chaos instead of peace. I would like more peace in my life, and in order to bring more peace, then I should bring peace to the table and not a loaded gun. So, words, actions, thought processes, motives, I need to take a look at those when I'm living. This is a program of living. These simple actions give me the ability to go out in public and behave moderately better. And lo and behold, I start getting things in my life that I've always wanted. Friends, true friendship, a relationship with something greater than myself, the ability to look you in the eye and say, I'm okay, how are you? And all this stuff comes from me taking a look on how I'm living my life, and this little sentence does that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, I'll be quick. Okay, so, you're good. All right, so I just want to, okay, this part of the fourth step is probably the most valuable to me. Because this is where I actually start to learn some more truth about myself. And where it says, where have we been selfish? Like, I had to have that defined for me. And dishonest and self-seeking and frightened. And, you know, truly, I have different experiences. Like, initially when going through the fourth step, I'm looking at a lot of my past, right? And you know, there's certain situations where, yeah, I like, you know, let's say I had a really bad situation with someone who rented a room from me, and they wrote all this stuff, and they owe me all this money, and I'm angry, and, well, who let them move in? Who made that decision? Me. So was that based on a selfish reason? Yeah, I wanted the money more than I wanted, you know, to really vet out a good roommate, or maybe ask God if it was the right decision. So where I'm going with this is that I kind of get a little bit of a different experience when it's happening, like something in the present moment. And I have had some real aha moments about myself that just blow me away and expose some old ideas that I couldn't even tell you I had. And it's just like I couldn't tell you when I came in here that I was full of rage and anger, even though I was. I couldn't tell you when I came in here that I had bigger problems than just drinking too much, even though I did. And I couldn't tell you without doing this process, and I'm not saying I do inventory on every little thing, but when something's really eating my lunch, and I'm thinking about it, and it, will not seem to go away, and in walking through this process, I see things about myself, like how I think I need to have perfect relationships with my sisters, like we need to be best buds in order for me to be okay. And that's a lie that I base my life on. So it's just so amazing, and I just wanted to share that with you because it's not so much my part or my fault. It's just a truth about myself that for whatever reason I have no other way to uncover. Thanks, let me share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Robert Catherine.
Woo-hoo! Good job!
Cover each group's rent and other expenses. The seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also the intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Come on, Dono. Don't let me down.
Yes, my name's Mike, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
I'm a member of the principal's group of Best People, and we're having our, and I did a little flyer a couple weeks ago. We're having a dinner and a speaker to recognize our 7th anniversary. It's Tuesday, January 26th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Harvest Assembly Church on Kentsville Road. Be at 6:30, speaker at 7:45. Main dishes will be provided, and you can bring a side dish if you wish.
Awesome.
And I have a photo if you want.
Woohoo!
Thank you. Thank you. Civil Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after leaving. Home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. There's literature available. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you to not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or additional about, or would like to ask additional information about sponsorship in AA, BJ will be at the front desk here and available to answer any questions after the meeting. Please feel free to ask her. Smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting, audio recordings, and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. We ask to thank the panel again for sharing. Thanks to all who participated. After the cleanup, we are all invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight and the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at
Plaza del Sol,
which is 2 blocks up the street on
20th,
22nd,
and Colonial.
Yeah,
Next to the Mambo Room.
You get to read the last two paragraphs on page 164 of a volunteer. BJ has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs.
I'm BJ, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, BJ.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close vote, though. Lord's Prayer.
All right.
Bob, would you like to lead us?
What the rage of the trees?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Woo-hoo.